Brandela.
Good morning. Good evening.
Good evening.
I got your text, and of course, the prayers will keep coming.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Good evening, Martha.
Good evening.
We are starting today with Parashat Noach from the Zohar. We're on section 25, starting with Pasuk 179. And we'll start with the L'shem Yichud. L'shem Yichud Kudsha Berichu Ishkinte Bit Hilur Himud Hilud Hilur Himu L'yachta L'shem Yudhe Bavadhe B'yichuda Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael Limud Torah Mitzvah La'asok Torah Mitzvah Vayihino Am Adonai Eloheinu Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kanunei Aleinu Ma'aseh Yadeinu Kanuneihu. Yitzhak, Rabbi Yitzhak, Petach, Molich, Limin, Moshe, Zeroah, Pifarto, Bokea, Maim, Mifnehem, Leasot, Lo, Shem, Olam, Dazakuta, De Abraham Dehu Yamina Mi Moshe Tiferet de Moshe Ugin Kach Bokea Mayim Mit Nehem De Hazakuta De Abraham Bokea Mayim Ihu De Kol Dalama La'asot lo shem olam. Rabbi Yitzhak analyzed the words. He who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, that divided the water before them to make himself an everlasting name. He said that his glorious arm is the merit of Abraham, who is the embodiment of Chesed, and who is the right side of Moses. Tiferet of Moses, in other words, Moses is the secret of Tiferet, and Chesed is to his right. So the term arm indicates the right arm of the Tiferet of Moses. And therefore that divided the water before them indicates that the merit of Abraham, who is Chesed, divides the water. And for what reason? To make himself an everlasting name. Questions, comments, thoughts?
My thoughts are, is that he made his name everlasting and be the righteous Zadok King. And also what my thought pattern is that how it was very, I'd say hard, it was amazing to see all the elements of God's creation come together to make this event happen of the splitting of the sea. And, you know, what's your thoughts on that? I know, because that, you know, air, wind, water, you know, the whole truly elements are the, I'll call them elements, were there. All his ministering angels that control those environments came together.
You are correct. All of the elements were there. But the question is, who split the sea?
Hashem.
Ultimately, Hashem does the reaction. But did Hashem actually split the sea?
It was Abraham's 32. I'm sorry.
That's all right. The Midrash says that the staff of Moses on one side had the 42-letter name, the Anapakoah, and on the other side had the 72 names of God. And if you read closely the words of the splitting of the sea, there was a strong east wind, and Moses spread forth his staff, and the sea split, and the children of Israel crossed over the sea on dry land. What is an east wind? The word for wind is ruah, the level of soul dealing with emotions. The direction east refers to Tiferet, the combination of judgment and mercy. The Kabbalists essentially teach that it was not God who, wasn't Hashem who did the splitting. It was Moshe, was mankind with his certainty, but he still had to do the action. The right action at the right time, the right circumstances, the right conditions of nature, the right Kavanah, the same, I'm constantly saying, to be righteous, one needs to do the right action at the right time, at the right place, with the right Kavanah. Four, you are adding and saying, and right, validly so, it also has to be the right confluence of all the different elements. The wind had to be right. The angels had to be there. All of these different levels had to be involved. But ultimately, it was man's decision. It was the children of Israel who split the sea because they were the ones who created their limitations. And that's what the story of the Sea of Splitting of the Yam Suf is all about. Breaking forth from your limitations. Now, looking at this Pasuk specifically, we are taught that Moses is a chariot for Netzach. Not Tiferet. Yet Rabbi Ashlag is telling us that Moses was at the level of Tiferet. How do we understand that? Was Rabbi Ashlag incorrect? Was he fooling us that we need to be at a place, a level of consciousness where we know he's fooling us and that we realize that Moses was at the level of Netzach, not Tiferet? We also know that at the end of his life, Moses had risen to a level of the world that is coming, the level of Dat, the level of knowledge. So the splitting of the sea was based on Moses having the knowledge to do so, the wisdom of the 72 names. So these questions these comments need to kind of be contemplated for you to decide which is correct. Was Moses at Tiferet? Was he at Netzach and had been moved? He had grown by this time, so he was now at the level of Tiferet? Or had he gotten to Das, and he was using the wisdom of himself and his growth in order to ascertain what was the level of consciousness of Moses dealing with knowledge? So there's a lot of not uncertainty, there's a lot of questions that need to be raised in this pasuk in order to truly understand it. Maybe it will become clear as we read on, maybe not. You know, I've never really explained to you how I do this, but I do not read ahead. When we're starting, I haven't read section 25 before. Now, if it's the early sections of the Zohar, maybe the first 100 verses, yes, I've read those. And so if you ask me about them, I'm commenting based on something I've already read and thought about. But once you get past that, I'm looking at the verse by itself. I'm not looking at what's the rest of the section going to tell me. I make my comments, and then I read on to the next verse. So that ultimately, yes, in another year I might come back to this. The next time we come back to this verse, I will have I'll be on a different spiritual level. So my comments will be that much different. But just looking at this verse for the first time, we don't really have answers to the questions that I've asked. That's my opinion, that's what you asked for, what I was thinking. Does anybody want to comment on what I said, or should I go on?
Well, I don't know if I'm commenting on what you said, but all day today, I don't know, it's like thinking about the last verses, last chapter that we read, and I don't go ahead either. Maybe occasionally I've done it in the past, but on the whole, I don't read ahead. But today,
right.
I kept constantly thinking about what we said about Noah being righteous for his generation and Moshe, you know. And California kept coming to my mind. And, I mean, you have to say California's been in the news for a number of months between the fires and now the mudslides, as well as a lot of other stuff, too, politically. And I thought, okay, if the chaos that they've been experiencing is as a state, and, of course, I know you were there when I first started with you. You were living, I think, in California. But
right.
It made me think, oh, okay, so judgment, if this is judgment for the people's actions, judgment came by fire first, and now
yes.
It's mud, so it's earth. And I thought, oh, my, are they going to have air
the mud
and
is
water?
Worth with liquid water.
You know. And then I thought of what we've been doing with the energy verses. And I thought, well, we've been saying the energy verse to Israel for almost 4 years, I guess. And then
right.
I thought about Timnah, that story that we mentioned from the Talmud. And I think I asked the question, did we need to do Teshuvah? And I don't think, I felt a connection because she was a woman and a connection because she wanted to convert. And I think of how hard of a time that I had with converting, you know.
Right.
But got to thinking,
Well, you didn't, we didn't, I, somehow we brushed over it and I didn't get an answer to that question. And I didn't think about it, you know, the way the conversation went. But I thought, oh gosh, we've been doing the energy verse for certainty, which is the antidote for doubt, which is what Amalek is. And Timna was connected to Amalek. And so then I thought, okay, then here we've been working with the Zohar, with the idea of being righteous in your generation. Is that a call? And this is my thinking. Okay, is that a call then that we should be like Moshe and plead, pray, call upon Hashem, you know, to be merciful not only to California but for every state in the union that are receiving judgment, you know, and need to do teshuva? And I was trying to think, okay, the energy verses that we're saying now with having to bow to Hashem, that pretty much relates to that. And so I thought, well, we're, every one of the energy verses that we're doing is applying to all of those situations. And so I kind of felt at peace. Does that make sense?
Makes perfect sense.
So our doing the energy verses are in a way, well, not in a way, but are actions that are now crying out to Hashem for, if you want to say mercy, for people to wake up, for all of us to wake up to the idea of needing to do teshuva, to be the antidote for these crises, and that the judgment, it wouldn't, or the receiving the effect of the lack of not bowing to Hashem, and would prevent the next two elements, water and air, from coming to California as well as any of the other states, because we'd want that vessel to be a vessel to not just include California, but all of our states, the whole world, in fact. In other words, the whole world coming to bow to Hashem.
I was born in Los Angeles. I lived my whole life in Los Angeles. I was born asthmatic. Air is my element that has to do with my tikkun.
Okay, air is mine as well. I think
but
for Shabbat.
In California, and in Los Angeles, Southern California, during the 50s, the smog levels, scientifically, were the worst, close to the worst in the world. And they put in regulations, man's regulations on the effluents that they would allow into the air. And today, the levels of smog in Los Angeles is lower than it was in the 50s.
I can remember them showing pictures of the highway with the smog. So what you're talking about, I remember.
The growth in Southern California, it's like doubled in population. So there should be no way that the air is cleaner. Yet it is, because man took charge. And this is what I was trying to get across with Malka's comments. It's not that Malka's wrong. Hashem is the cause. But it takes the angels, meaning mankind, to be doing the right thing at the right time in the right location with the right kavanah. So you have destruction with water, with fire, with earth. But you don't have destruction with air because man took the steps to correct the judgment, to sweeten the judgments of air. Now, I wasn't in the Los Angeles at the time of the fires, but I understand that the ash that was in the air, yes, it came from the fire, but it was difficult to breathe. It was difficult to see. All of these different aspects and all of the parashiyot that was happening during the fire was about vision. Just like this week's Vayera is about vision. God appeared to Moshe in the name of Hashem, but to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he appeared as El Shaddai. So everything that both of you have said is accurate and correct, but there's another level, and in my opinion, it's a deeper level, that in order to bring us, in order to bring that spark of Moses to change the world to be heaven on earth, rather than the consciousness that people have that this earth is chaotic, that action, that consciousness is going to take mankind individually and collectively to change certain aspects of their behavior. 20 years ago, 10 years ago, we were told about climate change. Climate was going, melting the polar caps and so forth. We were told, but they just said there's global warming. Now they're saying that it's man's activity that is causing these changes. There's been a transition to motivate greater change within mankind so that man's activity will sweeten the judgments. The same thing applies to the hurricanes and the rains that came. Everything is there. We have been given all of the tools. Binding by striking, the 72 names of God, Teshuvah. We've been given all the tools. We have to start to implement those tools. And that's the lesson. And that's the end of our half hour, unless you want to continue or you have other questions to ask.
Well, for now, that was my only question, because that was what I pondered all day in between mopping and sweeping and thinking, you know.
See, and I choose to perceive that you were mopping and sweeping with the kavanah of answering the questions that you were asking in your head.
Mm-hmm.
That was the kavanah for the mopping.
Mm-hmm.
That's what cleansed certain aspects of your tikkun, of your actions, of your particular actions today.
Well, I like to think of it, too, on a simple level, that Hashem is spirit, and we're flesh and blood in this earth, and so we have to be that right arm, his glorious arm, his right hand, just like it says, and he caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses. That's what we do, because Hashem, as we are the physical arm, like you said, the angel, as an angel, to do the work.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's correct. A very simple analogy, I guess I could say.
Malka, we haven't heard from you in a little bit. Was I clear in what I said about having that it was mankind who split the sea? Because
yeah,
mankind created the limitations.
Yes, sir, and that's, and I, you know, certainty. Abraham had certainty, and he had that. That was a great explanation for me.
Mm-hmm. I used to give the example with the children that, let's say it was a lifeguard on a beach. And there's a swimmer out in the water, and the swimmer starts to drown. And the lifeguard sees it, and he rushes out to save the swimmer who's drowning. Okay. Who really saved the swimmer? Okay, it was the lifeguard. He did the action, but he was the physical arm of Hashem. You know how we always use the story at Passover that it was the right arm of Hashem, the Zohorah. That's why we have the shank bone on the table that, you know, that created them or helped with the, or did the exodus from Egypt. It was going in and judgment falling on with the use of the 10 plagues. And so, yes, it was Hashem who was behind it all, but it was the arm and, you know, it was the physical being of the lifeguard who saved the person. So, in a way, you can't, you know, you would want to say, oh, the lifeguard saved my life, which is true, but behind that lifeguard was Hashem's mercy. Right. So is that kind of the same type analogy?
It's a very good analogy.
Okay.
But in our physical world, we have to think in terms of mida keneged mida, measure for measure.
Right.
So who created the limitations? Who created the problem with the swimmer?
I'm not sure what you said. Who created what?
Who created the problem that the swimmer is drowning? Who's the cause of that?
Hashem.
That problem.
Of the swimmer drowning? No, that was the swimmer himself.
Do you think Hashem wants the swimmer to drown?
No.
No.
So it's not Hashem who created the problem. Hashem only shares goodness. Negativity comes from human activity. The swimmer created the problem of why he was drowning. And what saved him? His certainty that the lifeguard would come out and save him. Now, we don't think that the swimmer actually thinks like that, because he's in a panic mode. But is he in a panic mode? On his unconscious level, he knows what's going to happen. He knows the lifeguard is going to come out and save him. But can he control his reactive nature and allow himself to be saved? Mida keneged mida, measure for measure. Hashem split the Red Sea, the Yam Suf. Moses split the Yam Suf by reaching out his arm. Hashem provided the east wind. But what saved, what split the Yam Suf? According to the Midrash, the head of the tribe of Yehuda, Aminadab, forgetting who he was, the son.
That was Nachshon, you mean?
Nachshon ben Aminadab, thank you.
Yeah.
Nachshon ben Aminadab went into the sea, and only his certainty that he would not drown, that he would be able to split the sea if he just went deep enough, that certainty is what split the sea. Could it have been anybody else? There were other 11 other tribes. Why didn't the other leaders go in? Did they have less certainty than Nachshon? They had the same training, the same education from Moses, the same study of Torah. But Yehuda, the tribe of Yehuda, Nachshon ben Aminadab from the tribe of Judah, he had to be the one to save it because he represents Mashiach. Our 7 o'clock class tonight will be the Zohar, a regular Zohar class from the Parasha of Vayera.
You know which section?
Vision? That's the illusion. Or vision that is true. Do I know which section? I think we did section
4.
I think we did section 4, then it'll be section 5. And if that's not long enough, it'll be also section 6.
Okay. It doesn't come up on my computer. Last week's portion and this one, I have to do a search to get it. So, and it's because the addresses are different.
Okay, I'll send you the links if you like.
Well, I was able to find it.
Okay.
But I noticed when I went back again, you had passed 5. So that's why I asked. There were quite a few more than just 4 and 5. So that's the only reason I asked.
Yeah, I've added a couple more.
Right.
To that and the bow. And I need to add some more to Beshalach, but I have 2 weeks to do it, so.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm okay. The next 2 are there. It's just every once in a while I get one that says, yes, I'll be off in just a minute. Every once in a while I get a section that'll say under construction. And usually I can find it by doing the search from your site, not just a regular search. You know, if I
right.
put it so hard,
well,
you know.
There's been
if
some problems
with
that.
I would have emailed you if I couldn't have found it. So I usually try to do that on Friday, is find what's next, you know, before Shabbat starts. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
You all have a beautiful evening.
Shalom.
You too. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you,
Hannah. Take care, Malka.